where your opinion counts. News Talk 870, KRLA.
Healthy Advice is sponsored by Good Neighbor Pharmacy on News Talk 870, KRLA.
Ever wish you had more access to your friendly neighborhood pharmacist or always available physician? Well, welcome to Healthy Advice with Dr. Gene, brought to you by Good Neighbor Pharmacy. Call 888-GNP-STORE for a location near you. And now, for the guy who puts the X in RX, here's Dr. Gene.
From Seattle to San Diego and Sacramento to our flagship station right here in Los Angeles and to our affiliate 590 AM in the Inland Empire. Live and local, this is Healthy Advice with Dr. Gene, the voice of Good Neighbor Pharmacy. This is the show that tells it as it is when it comes to your health. We welcome your calls at 866-870-KRLA. That's 866-870-5752. News Talk 870 KRLA. This program is brought to you by Good Neighbor Pharmacy, whose sole intent is to highlight those in our community that make significant contributions in health, and tonight is no exception. We are privileged to welcome back with us this evening Michael Shaw. Michael Shaw is the CEO of Interscan Corporation, which is a Los Angeles-based manufacturer of toxic gas detection instrumentation and related software. Interscan's products are used in more than 80 countries, and its customer list includes some of the most prestigious industrial companies and research centers and government agencies. A few years ago, in response to customer demand, Interscan modified a portable industrial hydrogen sulfide analyzer into a unit very suitable for making oral measurements of certain sulfur compounds, the compounds that cause most bad breath. Now, you could be one of the million who suffer from chronic bad breath, halitosis, oral malodor, and studies have indicated that 25 to 85 million people are affected. A good subject to talk about. We don't talk about it enough. Michael, it is a pleasure welcoming you to Healthy Advice. Thank you.
As always, it's great to be on the show, Dr. Gene.
You know, this is a very big problem. And again, if you're a good friend to somebody, you would possibly tell them to take the little green giant if by some chance you have an affected bad breath. But a lot of people don't do that. And again, if we can possibly make them a little bit more comfortable in telling them what they can do by our program tonight, I think we will have accomplished quite a bit. But let me ask you just from the get-go, what causes bad breath?
Okay. Bad breath, of course, is the most generic term for just it's called also oral malodor, mm-hmm. descriptive term just from a foul smell that emanates from the mouth. If using this term, you're not necessarily talking about causation or etiology. And in fact, I can refer our listeners to very detailed information on our Helimeter website, which is our instrument. But in fact, most bad breath originates in the mouth. Mm-hmm. 15 to 20% of it has non-oral causes. There's a Latin term that the doctors use, fetor oris, which refers to oral-based bad breath. And we are excluding, for the purposes of this discussion, bad breath just caused by, you know, temporary eating garlic or onion foods. The bad breath we're concerned about comes from internal factors rather than external. And as you mentioned, depending on whose statistics we're quoting, you're talking about 25 to 85 million Americans.
It's a lot. And again, you know, the conditions that mainly trigger bad breath, you know, and halitosis, let's use that word synonymously tonight.
Right.
I kind of include a lot of things. I mean, I have people coming into the pharmacy that possess dry mouth. They possess maybe a thick saliva or maybe excess mucus in the throat. You know, bacteria, the body has a wonderful way of getting rid of a lot of bacteria, and it embolizes it by using a lot of mucus. But sometimes what happens if those are contagious bacteria, they start multiplying in that mucus. And what do? We swallow it. And that starts sometimes some pretty bad stuff in the system here. A diet and proteins, for instance. I know people, we talk about diets a lot here on this program, people that take heavy amounts of protein. The chances are the dairy foods, the red meat, the beans, that causes bad breath.
Well, this is true. I mean, one of the guys, Dr. John McDougall, who you may be familiar with, has come out advocating a pretty much vegetarian, even vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
He would debate Dr. Atkins, and he had contacted us about a year or two ago about doing some studies trying to demonstrate that vegetarians were not as prone to bad breath as people that ate meat. And while there may be some scientific basis to that, it's not that I'm disagreeing with it, it'd be very difficult test to run because, you know, how much meat and what kind of diet and how much of a mixed diet. And but if you look at the proteins in vegetables, they probably do have less sulfur, mm-hmm. and it's these sulfur compounds that we're worried about mm-hmm. and that cause most of the bad breath.
And those are those contributors for the bad breath. Of course, a lot of people say, hey, I've got a bad stomach. The hydrochloric acid in it is coming up and therefore causing a lot of bad breath. But it really is the fact that things that have those sulfur-containing compounds in the mouth can actually cause it. Alcohol, for instance. You know how many mouthwashes that alcohol that have high sugar content, which are a breeding ground for a lot of the bacteria that unfortunately are in the mouth?
Yeah, there's no question about it that some of the more common retail products, of course, as you well know, are alcohol-based. The advantage of an alcohol-based product is that you can make a more attractive product because many of the oils and flavoring agents dissolve much better in alcohol. Mm-hmm. Oil and water don't mix. Mm-hmm. To make a water-based product requires emulsifiers like polysorbate 80, which create for many people an unpleasant foamy appearance, which is why most of these water-based products, many of which are good and many of which I think you sell in your own pharmacy, mm-hmm. are always packaged in opaque bottles because people just don't like that foamy appearance. Alcohol, of course, kills bacteria, but as you say, it dries out the mouth, which is a real contributor, not just to bad breath, but to a variety of oral conditions.
Now, I know that people that are listening to the program tonight are saying, oh, let's put the brakes on. Now, let's ask yourself the question, what about eating onions or garlic? What does the bacteria have to do with the bad breath when I eat like Italian food?
Well, here again, under the big umbrella of bad breath, yes, if you have a lot of garlic and onions, you will have unpleasant breath to others. I wouldn't call that a medical condition. But one of the problems, and indeed where is it caused in the stomach or by what you eat, the problem with people that eat a lot of garlic and onions, of course, the food gets digested. Mm-hmm. The garlic aroma, if you will, it's carried into the blood, gets back into the lungs, so now you're breathing it out, which, you know, as we jump around here, which also shows why these capsules that were very popular a few years ago basically can't work, because whatever happens in the stomach, at best, is a minor cause.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yet we know for garlic, it acts as a wonderful, in a lot of cases, antioxidant. You know, as far as that's concerned. But there is a product on the market called TheraBreath.
Right.
Now, TheraBreath does not have sugar in it.
No.
It can eliminate odors. It can be gotten, I'm sure, at any one of the Good Neighbor pharmacies.
Right.
And it converts these sulfur things called mercaptans, isn't it?
Well, they're
a simple non-odorous type of
right. There are three basic sulfur compounds that we're interested in here. It's hydrogen sulfide, which most of your listeners would recognize as the rotten egg smell.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Methylmercaptan, which is used in many places to put odorant in a natural gas, very mm-hmm. powerful smell, mm-hmm. and dimethyl sulfide. And depending on the individual and the diet and so on, it's a mixture of those three, otherwise called the volatile sulfur compounds. What products like TheraBreath do is by the use of some form of chlorine dioxide, you have a therapeutic benefit with respect to killing the bacteria, but it also can break down those sulfur compounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the advantage of being water-based, so you don't have the alcohol difficulties of drying out the mouth. And there are various products out there that are similar to TheraBreath in that they're chlorine dioxide-based, purpose-designed rinse for bad breath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily taste great, but it is good for you in the sense that it can get rid of a lot. But, you know, a lot of doctors, if you go to them, from what I have seen, and the patients complain of bad breath, they immediately start giving some antibiotics. And that really isn't the answer for something of that nature, because that can kill a lot of the probiotics in the intestinal cord and cause another condition called leaky gut syndrome.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, at best, it would be a short-term solution.
So I'll tell you, it's a never-ending battle over here, but at least if we can find out what causes bad breath, and we've mentioned a few things, maybe we can go over some of those things right now before we go to our next question. What about a non-oral etiology?
All right. Well, you know, we've talked about oral hygiene, which represents the majority of the cases. But one of the reasons people use the halimeters, they can determine if the bad breath is coming from the mouth or the nose or the lungs. Now, if you have an obstruction, if you have a nasal discharge, tonsillitis, laryngitis, infections of various types, lung abscesses, pneumonia, there are people with serious conditions of hepatitis, mm-hmm. kidney disease, diabetes, and so on. And as we were speaking earlier, in the one case of ketosis, which is generally pronounced in diabetes,
mm-hmm.
This is where you have too many so-called ketone bodies in the breath because you have poor carbohydrate metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
The new symptom called Atkins breath
mm-hmm.
is very similar with the ketone bodies, and Atkins breath, believe it or not, has been written up in several newspaper articles.
Well, you know, that's a full-blown ketoacidosis. We talk a little about that. Mild ketosis is not bad if you're trying to lose weight, but when you get into the ability of maybe having too much protein and you cause ketoacidosis, those ketones can actually fry the kidney, so you've got to be very, very, very,
that's
very
right.
careful in a situation like that. But before he passed away, as we talked before the program, he did modify his diet to a point. I think anybody that wants to go on the Atkins diet, if they go on for about a week and a half or two to start it off, that is really all you should use. But we have a society that believes if something works well one time and you double it up, it'll work twice as good the second time. And that's really not the case.
Yeah.
What about conventional self-treatment options
right.
that you could suggest?
What we put in this category are things like the conventional mints that people use, the commercial mouthwashes, mm-hmm. and these, at this point, infamous gel caps that mm-hmm. were very popular a few years ago. Arguably, you can take a commercial mouthwash, you can rinse the mouth, there's going to be some therapeutic benefit, you're going to kill some germs, you're going to some extent, act as a solvent to remove odorific compounds. The trouble is that it's very short-term. It has the possibility of drying out the mouth, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the manufacturers will add such agents as thymol to try to stimulate saliva production, but...
Is that the stuff that's in Listerine, isn't it?
Amongst others.
Oh, things, right.
And in fact, Listerine has put out papers saying that they can overcome the xerostomia or mouth drying out effect with the thymol. You know, perhaps that's true, but one would think that if someone is using this rinse that really has the medical condition, there are other approaches that aren't quite as harsh.
Mm-hmm. Got to feel so good, though, to have that in your mouth for some time. You just know you're killing everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, the machine that you have, which is called a halimeter.
Yes.
Is a very much portable machine that I understand some dental offices have, and that really is, in a true sense, what you said, if I understood you correctly, would kind of differentiate a lot of the smells that might come from the nose or the ear or any type of mucus or bacteria to limited to the mouth. Is that correct?
Well, they do a couple of things with it. There's protocols that we've worked with dentists on, but it really comes down to this, that if you're just going to measure the mouth air and you monitor the progress of treatment, we can talk about what the treatment is in a while, you can get a numerical reduction and have a quantitative way of looking at, you know, the improvement in the patient's breath. And you can also, by doing various types of sampling methods, determine that it is, in fact, coming from the mouth. In some cases, of course, it isn't. If there's a nasal abscess, you'll have a big odor coming from the nose and nothing from the mouth. And if there's a lung problem and so on, it's quite serious, unfortunately. You'll get the high concentration of the lung air, not necessarily coming from the mouth. So it's useful for establishing where the bad breath is coming from, as well as monitoring the sure. progress of treatment.
When your mouth is drier, however, you have less saliva. Saliva naturally contains oxygen, right?
Right.
Which keeps your mouth healthy and fresh. Now, these bacteria, a lot of them in the mouth are anaerobic.
That's correct.
Because they don't require oxygen.
Right.
And so is this where a lot of the factors of dry mouth, which is probably one of the leading causes of bad breath?
Well, dry mouth is one of the leading causes of just about all oral conditions. I was, you know, in working with universities some years ago, they got very involved with the fact that certain drugs, such as Prozac, will cause a dry mouth condition. Mm-hmm. And argument was made that the patients weren't informed of this in the early stages, mm-hmm. developed some horrific oral conditions.
You know, also something, as I'm just thinking, and while you're over here, that excess mucus, or let's say something from a post-nasal drip,
yes,
is actually a food source for a lot of these anaerobic bacteria.
Yeah.
And those, that's why I always tell my patients to go ahead, put a lot of pillows underneath your neck over here so that possibly you will not get a post-nasal drip. Do you think bad breath comes from sinuses also? I know you mentioned that, but again, I would imagine since we have 17 little holes in our little skeleton over there, that something, when they fill up with mucus, that
anything that the bacteria can digest and give off sulfur, and there's a lot of sulfur in proteins, and there's a lot of proteins in this mucus and so on, or what any of these things are that are lying around in their mouth, that, and you know, and let's not forget though, this tongue coating situation that many of the patients have,
mm-hmm.
where you have this wonderful thing on the top of the tongue that's just a great playpen for the bacteria that they thrive in it, and it's a, in some patients, to be a fairly thick coating.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this,
but I was going to say, there is a type of an instrument that you can actually go ahead and use.
Oh, absolutely.
To scrape your tongue. Now, I have tried to teach many people here in my pharmacy, and that's another thing that Good Neighbor Pharmacy sells, are these tongue scrapers, and it's very difficult to have them scrape their tongue. But in a sense, what is that doing?
All right. They find it difficult for a couple of reasons. Some people will gag on it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't see the need because some people, frankly, don't have a tongue coating. But if some of these other patients will look in the mirror, they'll see this horrible white coating on their tongue, and they might want to get rid of it. The tongue scraping will remove this coating, which just acts as a wonderful environment for this anaerobic bacteria. But as you said, like anything else, people can overdo it, and people have, it's not serious, but have, you know, damaged their tongue or whatever, it bleeds and so on by going a little too harsh with it. But it, studies have shown that you can combine the tongue scraping with the good rinses. However, studies have come out saying that if you're going to eliminate one or the other, you actually get almost the same results just by cleaning the tongue.
Isn't that something? Flossing is very good also.
Yes, yes.
Try to get the bacteria from out. And that's just for your dentist, you know, from in between the teeth. That's very important.
Right.
Using a toothbrush that is not a hard one to take off the enamel, at least brushing twice a day is very important. If you have an abscess, I always tell my patients to take a couple of tablespoons of salt, put it into very warm water, and this kind of swirl around your mouth, and that sometimes the concentration of that salt water is greater than that which is inside the interstitial fluid of the gums.
That's correct.
And you can reduce a lot of the swelling that way. But again, high protein diet, I can't stress that enough, can cause, those bacteria love those protein.
Absolutely.
And milk and cheese and most dairy products are usually problems for most people. The fat content really doesn't matter, but if you're lactose intolerant, don't eat or drink those products because that obviously can cause some problems too. So if we had to review a little bit of the symptoms of bad breath, that white coating on the tongue could be one. Dry mouth would be something, a post-nasal mm-hmm. drip, a whitish round globs on your tonsils. Of course, that could be something else that could be contagious, like a beta hemolytic strep.
Right.
Thick saliva, always trying to clear your throat. These are causative reasons. People that will offer you gum mints possibly could be something that could certainly
trying to tell you something.
And cause something. You know, people turn their heads very, very fast away from you as you pass them,
yes.
which would be a great sign and symptom that maybe there is something wrong. Scraping the tongue is very good. You know, constant sour, bitter, and metallic taste, of which I'm sure I'm mentioning some of these little symptoms that a lot of you out there in the listening audience are experiencing, so forth. And if you had to kind of make a suggestion then at this point, now that we've identified the
right.
problem, and the 25 to 85 million people have this problem, what simple types of solutions would you offer at this time?
Okay. We talked about conventional and to some extent non-conventional self-treatment options. I mean, it's kind of like anything else that if the patient will find out that he has this bad breath condition for the reasons that you say, you can go to a good neighbor pharmacy, let's say, and get a tongue scraper. Try some of the rinses. Maybe this will knock it down. If it doesn't, then, you know, you really should seek treatment from a dental professional who will do a little more. He may test with our halimeter, but he may also go in and look at gingivitis conditions, periodontitis conditions. They may do the root planing. They may, you know, give you a whole oral hygiene treatment, and this should knock it down in 80 to 90% of the cases.
Would you say try to be a little bit more selective on the toothpaste that you might use that may not have certain sugars or saccharin-containing compounds?
Yes.
That would be something.
There are even some toothpaste that are considered antibacterial and so forth. And then, as you mentioned, the sodium chloride table salt saline rinse is very therapeutic and is certainly cheaper than the commercial rinses and works quite well for a lot of these conditions.
Now, I understand a word that comes up on a lot of these products is sodium lauryl sulfate, which is kind of like a harsh detergent.
Right.
And among other things, this certainly could be related to an increased incidence of canker sores that could come in the mouth also. So that type of chemical should be absolutely verboten.
Let's just say this, Dr. Gene. There are enough good natural products readily available that your listeners can find a number of them without having to, you know, resort to the old-fashioned commercial additive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are good products out there that have herbal formulations with echinacea, golden seal, calendula, and other extracts.
Mm-hmm.
That there's been papers that have been studies done in NYU Medical Dental School that have had some pretty good results.
Now, I know that we mentioned before the show here that your halimeter is in about 3,000 different dental offices or places around
right.
the United States. If people wanted to determine a place where they could, let's say, find one of these sources to be able to determine if they really do have halitosis that's caused by the sulfur derivatives in the mouth, do you have a phone number or a website they could go to?
Okay, the easiest thing they could do was go to the halimeter, H-A-L-I-M-E-T-E-R, halimeter.com website, and we have a list of not every dentist, but scores of them that have websites all over the country and the world. If they don't find someone there, they can contact us at 1-800-458-6153. And
can you repeat that number?
1-800-458-6153, and we will attempt to find one in their region.
Michael, as always, it's a pleasure having you on Healthy Advice. We pick up a little tidbits here and there, but this is a subject that really affects a lot of people, and I appreciate you joining me this evening. I hope you come back and join
me again.
Great
to be here.
Okay, this has been Healthy Advice with Dr. Gene, the show where we're informed.